If you want to be turning to 2 Kings chapter 6, that's where we'll be today. When is the last time when you said that you were in a place where you said, I quit. I give up. It's too hard. This is too much. Those times when you say, I just can't celebrate. I just can't raise my hands to God. I just can't put that smile on my face. Those times when you say, you don't know what my wife or my husband has done to me. When you say, you don't know what my kids have done to me. They've broken my heart. You don't know the hurt that I have. You don't know the pain that I feel. Well, we get into 2 Kings chapter 6, and we read about a man named Elisha. And the context of where we'll be picking up in verse 11, the context that's taking place is that the king would get frustrated because he thinks he has Elisha cornered. He thinks that he has Elisha in a place where he can finally get him, where he can whip him, where he can defeat him. But every time God would whisper to Elisha, they're coming from this direction, and Elisha was able to flee. And it made the king of Aram so angry that he asked, where is the traitor? And so we pick up in verse 11. This enraged the king of Aram, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11. He summoned his officers and demanded them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words that you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men to capture him. And a report came back to him. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They surrounded the city by night. They went by night and they surrounded the city. When a servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Now it's nighttime, and you imagine you walk outside, and all of a sudden there are horses and chariots all around. I mean, they didn't have, you know, tanks and planes back then. So this is what their army had. But can you imagine that scene in your mind? That you wake up and you walk outside and you're surrounded by horses and chariots, ready to fight. Have you ever woken up and found yourself surrounded by Satan's forces? You ever turn around and ask, how did this even happen? If so, then you know what this guy who is unnamed, just called the man of God, you know what this unnamed character is feeling in this story. Now the story is about Elisha, but I'm glad that God puts in the guy. You know, just the ordinary, regular, everyday kind of guy he puts in here. Because Elisha is hard for me to identify with. Some events in Elisha's life, do you remember some people were teasing him and called him old bald head? So he prayed and God sent bears down to maul the people that called him that? I've tried. No bears. Elisha has a problem with finding enough food or enough finances and he asks and God provides. Elisha runs into a problem with time or sunshine or death and God takes care of it all. But I'm kind of like the guy. Notice in verse 15 the guy's response. He says, oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. And I find myself so many times being that guy. Something happens, I go, oh my Lord, what shall I do? Now do you notice? What he asks? What shall
we do?
I wonder if that's the wrong question. I wonder if he should have said, okay, God, what do you want us to do? But so many times, we, as people, say, what shall we do? I know. We'll have a meeting. We'll build a bigger building. We'll change things around. We'll add this, or we'll add that, or we'll take this away. We'll run. We. It's all about we. All about us. We'll change worship service. We'll hire a new preacher. We will. But perhaps the problem is in the question. Instead of asking, what shall we do? Maybe we need to ask, what would God have us to do? What is God already doing? How is He already working? Verse 16, the prophet answers him. He says, don't be afraid. That's our first word for today. Don't be afraid. If you want to see a positive outcome, you've got to stop focusing on the negative thing that is fear. Fear cripples us. Fear drives us, drives a wedge in our relationship. Fear causes us to play it safe. Fear is that lack of faith that says, that causes us to look around and see the enemies and to say they're going to defeat us. Fear is what causes us to say, what can we do? What shall we do? Fear causes us to stop good plans. Fear causes us to not welcome certain people because we're afraid that they may change things. Ministers that are afraid to fully do what they feel God has called them to do out of fear. Elders and leaders are afraid to make changes because somebody might come in and not understand the traditions that we hold so dear. So we won't do anything out of fear. Fear that if we change this or that, so-and-so may leave. And we're afraid to reach out to people because we're afraid that new people might come in and they don't know how to behave in the church. A kid might run. They might bring their drink into the auditorium. We're afraid. Fear causes us to fold our arms inward instead of reaching our hands out to the community around us. He says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And so Elisha prayed. Prayer is a very good thing. We talked about prayer in Bible class for a little bit today. However, his prayer is a little different. You see, we see the horses and the chariots coming at us, and we may say, God, nuke them. Take them now. Get them away from me. Remove them any way you can. We see the people that are opposing us or that are coming against us, and I pray, dear Lord, take them any way you need to. Give them a promotion in Alaska. Move them away. Let them take a vacation to Hawaii that they don't come back from. I mean, whatever it is, Lord, fix this situation for me. Work the way I want you to work. My prayer is so often telling God how to work. Bless me. Deliver me. Help me. But Elisha prays. Verse 17. Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Open his eyes so that he may see. If I were to paraphrase this and give you the Daniel version of it, it would be this. God, I need you to do one thing. Open this guy's eyes and give him just a glimpse so he'll stop running around and screaming and embarrassing me. Amen. His prayer is that the eyes of this guy can be opened. In verse 17 it says, then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked out, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And that's not the movie Chariots of Fire, way before the movie here. But he sees these chariots of fire, and he sees now something amazing. He sees that God has already been at work. That even though the evil forces are coming against him, there's so much more of God's forces already at work. His prayer teaches me that I'm asking God for something that he's already given me. I'm asking God for deliverance that he's already provided. I'm asking God for support that's already here. I'm asking him for help that's already available. But what I need to ask is for God to open my eyes. Get just a glimpse of how he's at work. Do you notice that Elisha doesn't pray for himself? He prays for the servant. For his eyes to be opened. The best we can gather from this text is that Elisha never sees the chariots of fire. Perhaps he doesn't need to. Maybe he knows God's already at work. Wasn't it Jesus who said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing"? Now there's something interesting. Now in our Bible class, we've been studying Ephesians. And over in Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. See if this sounds a little familiar to you. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 18. "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength." Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. What was Elisha's prayer for the servant of God? That his eyes would be open, that he could catch just a glimpse of how God's already at work. And so we fix our eyes on Christ. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And we fix our eyes on the fact that God wants us to know that if we walk in Him, we have victory. Now listen, that's easy to say standing up here. But when somebody's baby is in neonatal intensive care, it's a little tougher. When the results come back and they tell you it's cancer. When it's the machine that keeps your son breathing because of the bad accident they've just had. It's a little tougher. And then somebody wants to pat you on the shoulder and say, "You know, God's already at work." And it seems so cruel that they would say that to you. But it's at those moments, it's at those times when we most need for our eyes to be opened. When we need so much for somebody to pray, "God, open the eyes of their heart that they can see that you're at work." The man who sits in a hospital bed knowing he has just hours left to live. In his last conversation, he says, "Don't cry for me. I know where I'm going." Praise God for that kind of faith. And the truth is that if we can let God enlighten our hearts, He's going to reveal that He's already at work in us and around us. And that He has a great place prepared for us. Paul prayed that our eyes would be open. Open to the hope to which He has called you. But he also prayed that our eyes would be open to realize the glorious, rich inheritance that we have among the saints. Now you can gather two things from among the saints. The richness that we have among the saints. You can take it as many do to be the saints that have gone on before you. You think of all these great men and women of faith that you read about in the Bible or that you read about in history that have gone on before us. And we can say we have a rich inheritance among them. And I think you can gather that from here. But I also wonder if perhaps he's talking about the person sitting beside you. That we have a rich inheritance among the saints right now. That we have a body of believers that are part of our great inheritance. That we have brothers and sisters that can love us and pray with us and comfort us during those hard times. That we can be a comfort to them. That we can be a rich inheritance to someone. And that they can be that for us. If we realize that God can open our eyes, we can see that we have blessings all over the place, all around us. And that the power of God is at work. So significant to know that Jesus didn't just die on a cross and go into a tomb. The real significance is that He is risen. Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago, that we can live in Sunday morning. So often we focus on the Saturday time. When things look dark and grim and it seems like there's hopelessness all around us. But we can live knowing that Jesus is risen and it gives us power. God is at work. He is amazing. And when I've learned to stop saying, what shall we do? Then my heart can be enlightened. And my eyes can be open to what God is already doing. Our story in 2 Kings chapter 6. Just imagine that. The horsemen are coming and the chariots are coming and they've got the soldiers all around us and there's just Elisha and the servant. And he says, what shall we do? What shall I do when a situation looks hopeless? What shall I do when things seem too hard? What shall I do when the eviction notice comes? What shall I do when the medical bills come in and I can't pay them? What shall I do when hardships come? What shall I do when everyone I love seems to abandon me? What shall I do? And we glean from this message that God is all around. And He's got His chariots of fire all ready to fight on our behalf. And we've got this God who is mighty and powerful and He loves us and He wants us on His side. So we say, God, please open our eyes. Reveal Yourself to us. Show us, Lord, that You're already at work. We refuse to look at the situation anymore and think it's hopeless. We refuse to see only the negative. We choose to follow You. We choose to allow You to open our eyes. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant. He looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Open our eyes, Lord. You're already at work. He's already taken care of. He's already fighting. And I'm thinking that this guy, it turned from, oh no, to, oh man, look at those poor guys. God's about to do something to them. God has that ability to turn our situation into, oh man, to, oh wow. If we'll allow Him to open our eyes. Oh wow, look what God is doing. Let's bring it here. Are we going to have faith that when somebody looks at us and goes, oh man, I mean, we're still kind of small. There's not that many people here. And there's a lot of work to be done. To, oh wow, look what God is doing. Oh wow, look at this opportunity to share His love with the people around us. How can we turn our oh man to oh wow? Look what God is doing. By opening our eyes and allowing God to open our eyes. Not these eyes, but our spiritual eyes. The eyes of our heart. Well, because I'm an impatient person, you know, I started reading in the Bible there, and I was just curious to see if it was going to have a good ending or not. Sometimes I'll watch a movie and if it has a bad ending, I'm mad for a long time. You know, I'm going, why did they do that? They could have, you know, could have changed it. That little boy could have lived. So I thought I'd just go ahead and read the end of the book. Read the last few chapters. You know what? God wins. God wins. And you know what? We win. When we choose to follow Christ and allow Him to open the eyes of our heart, we win because God wins. It's His victory. So may the eyes of our hearts be open. We're about to have a song here. And during that time, if you need some prayer, or if you just want to come and share how God has turned your old man situation into an oh wow, I'd like for you to have the opportunity to do that. If you have any need, we're going to stand together and I invite you to come and sing with us.